What is up, Wisconsin? If you were waiting for the next time that you were going to see Maggie Dawn, too bad. Haha, it's me instead. Oops, all on you once again. Like a box of Captain Crunch, full of only the crunch berries. Oops, you've gotten me instead. But I promise today will be, if nothing else, an interesting show. I love throwing the word interesting in there because it reminds me of a middle school choir teacher I had who sometimes would take auditions for solos and things. And oftentimes when she didn't have a word for another, let's say, middle school appropriate word for it, she would say, you know, that take on the song was really interesting, or that your tone on that was really interesting. And it was only on the last day of middle school that I went into her office because I think she was going to sign my yearbook or something. I noticed a sign in her office that said, interesting does not mean good. So I think about that a lot. It's going to be an interesting show today, folks. We've already got folks on the phone lines. I'm seeing folks on the text line. I hope that's because everything's all right and not because I've already messed up somehow. But let me walk you through all the great stuff I have for you today. We got to talk Oscars, because what would I be doing stepping in for Maggie? What would I be doing here on the air if I didn't inadvertently move things from, not inadvertently, totally intentionally, move things away from politics and directly into the one thing I have a degree in, which is film? But there are some political notes, I think, coming out of what did make it from the Oscars shortlist that was released a month ago to the official nominations that came out this week. I think there's some political notes. I don't think it's out of line to say that there is politics within the Academy, within which films get selected, what happens to the films that get selected, the accolades, the money, the wealth that come to the people involved. It's politics, isn't it? Kind of feels like everything's politics these days, so why not make the Oscars politics too? Outside of it, I'm going to talk about fantastic news in the realm of arts and representation for Wisconsinites, for Indigenous folks, specifically Menominee folks, with an incredible woman out of Wisconsin, right here in Wisconsin, who has accepted a role on Disney Plus. We're going to talk about her in a little bit. And then we're going to round out the hour with some talk about the isolation epidemic in this country and have a larger conversation. I think about enough with just saying that there is an isolation epidemic, a loneliness epidemic, an issue in America and in the world with people feeling like they don't have people to talk to or somewhere to go, all these different things. Enough with just saying it. You're correct that, you know, the first step to solving a problem is admitting you have a problem. Okay, we've admitted it. I personally am ready for step two. I just don't happen to know what step two is necessarily, but maybe between the lot of us, you calling in at 844-967-2789 and me answering your calls during the break, maybe we can figure this out together. I'm optimistic. I don't know why. That it might be a sign of something worse, but I am optimistic. Let's talk Oscars. Okay. I have big opinions about the Oscars this year, as does everyone every year. But here's what I have to say. I don't think Barbie got snubbed because it is, of course, it's up for Best Feature. I mean, you can't really say anything was snubbed if it's there. There's one film in Best Picture I hadn't heard of until it was nominated, which is always, it always makes me a little weary. How did you get there, friend? American Fiction, I'm talking to you. Where are you from? I can't say that Barbie got snubbed, but I do think it's weird that Greta Gerwig, the director of Barbie, is not in the running for Best Director. I am very glad to see the director of Past Life, who is a woman, in the running. The director of Anatomy of a Fall. I'm happy to see Past Life Barbie and Anatomy of a Fall, all directed by women, nominated for Best Picture. I'm happy to see that. But again, if you didn't hear my episode about the Globes and about equivalence, equality, if you will, I'll just remind you who I equivalated Greta Gerwig, first female director of a film that surpassed $1 billion box office. I'll remind you that her equivalent was James Cameron. I want to apologize, by the way. I think throughout that episode, I referred to him as David Cameron, the former prime minister of Britain. Old white men confuse me, and it's your fault that you have two first names. I say that, my name being Anya Esther, two first names. But James Cameron, first director, male director, any director, to hit $1 billion in the box office with a movie, with Titanic in 1998, did get nominated for Best Director and did win it. And I'm going to say this too, won it over Good Will Hunting. So all of the... I got to find radio safe words. All the stuff I'm hearing about, you know, look, the Oscar, we don't give the Oscar out for box office numbers. We give it out for good art. First of all, ha ha ha, very funny joke. Second of all, but you did. 25 years ago, the year I was born, you did it. And now you're not. Now $1 billion isn't big enough when a woman does it. My blood's boiling, folks. Let's talk about good stuff. Like I said, three of the films up for best film, best film of the year, are directed by women out of the 10. Okay, let's go 30%. Woohoo. Like I said, those films are Barbie, Greta Gerwig, Past Life, and Anatomy of a Fall. And the director of Anatomy of a Fall is up for best director, up against Martin Scorsese with Killers of the Flower Moon, several other obviously male directors. But there's something to celebrate in a lot of these categories too. Lily Gladstone, who is in Killers of the Flower Moon, as I just referenced, is the first Native American, male, female, regardless, first Native American to be nominated for Best Actress. And subsequently, the other category for men, Best Actor, which should congratulate her. Fantastic job, Lily Gladstone. Absolutely deserved. Phenomenal performance. Phenomenal woman. Phenomenal to see her nominated for an award once upon a time accepted by a woman named Sasheen Littlefeather. An award once refused by Marlon Brando because of this academy and this industry's treatment of Native American people. It's good to see her up there and in the running. And I truly hope in a great category of great women, I hope it is her for a number of reasons. But if you're like me, alarm bells are going off that it is the year 2024. And what I've just told you is there has never been a male Native American nominated, much less having won, the Best Actor Oscar. We now have a woman nominated. Wonderful. We're going to see in February if we have the first woman who's won after being nominated. But does it not set off alarm bells to people still in this day and age when people want to have these nonsense fights about, but I don't like DEI. I don't like, CRT. I don't like acronyms. They scare me. Is it not setting off alarm bells that maybe the one film award the average Joe can name has yet to have ever said, you know what? One of the five best performances this year was done by a man who was Native American. What does that say to you about equity in roles? What does it say to you about the stories being told? What does it say to you about what options there are for our kids to look up to when no one like them has ever apparently been in a good film? Because the Oscars are about good films. The message being sent loud and clear is that there are no good films with Native people in them up until this year, where a film directed by a white guy about white guys killing Native people. Now Lily Gladstone's allowed to get the nomination. I'm tired. I know I say that every week. And yet, it's somehow still true. So congrats to Lily Gladstone. Very happy to see this. A couple other films off the list. If you haven't seen Society of the Snow, it's a film nominated in Best International Film about a plane crash, I believe, in the... are the Andes down there? Which mountains are down there? Are those Andes? Peru? somewhere down there. Some plane crash in South America, and the survival of a team. I believe it was a rugby team. They all crashed together, and many of them, not all, but many survived. Definitely give that one a look. Always take a look. Frankly, my advice is some of the best films and some of the best performances you're going to see are going to be in that best international film category. All the more reason that it doesn't make sense that it's a separate category. As though America is somehow more entitled to better film in the best feature category. It was only Parasite in, what was that, 2020, 2021? The first international feature to breach the wall between you could be the best international feature and now you can be the best feature. It was Parasite that did that and then Drive My Car and now a few other things. But it's interesting, what is this monopoly? Again, with the No. The best performances come from white dudes in America. Really? Because, like, I saw Gotti, and I saw a bunch of other films that were, like, white dude films, and I gotta say, not super impressed, and yet, kind of everything in the international feature is really good. What's that about? I don't know that I get that. When we come back, I've got more to tell you about something you can watch. It's not going to be Oscar nominated, mostly because it's a TV show and they don't do that. But something you could watch tonight, even on Disney Plus, if you have it. A great show, two shows, actually, one from before and one that's just come out, that features some great Wisconsin indigenous talent. And we're going to have a little discussion about the fact that, look, folks, inclusivity isn't that hard. And I'm going to prove it because we're going to have some audio from this actress who is deaf. That's right. I am somehow going to magically present to you the opinions of someone who's deaf on radio, something maybe you thought was impossible. Nay, stick around to watch the impossible become possible, I guess, on The Maggie Dawn Show. Be not afraid, Wisconsin. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. And what you're listening to, a little different from what I usually play. I wanted to pull something actually from the soundtrack of this next topic. You're hearing a song by the name of Shaped by Those Before You, composed by Dave Porter for the show Echo, coming out of Marvel Studios, available to watch on Disney Plus. Anya, you're a film major. What are you talking about something that's on Disney for? Well, folks, sometimes, you're not going to believe this, Disney actually still manages to make something good. It's interesting. I have found that the recipe for finding some of the really good art still managing to claw its way out of Disney Studios can be found usually at the bottom of the Disney Plus recommended page, tucked in with things like, this next show, Echo, for example. But other short films, I got to think of the name for it. Of course, it's escaping me right now. Pearl. That's right. Pearl. Another great short from Disney under their Spark Shorts program. It's actually a program where it's more interns that are like pitching the ideas and they're given resources to make it, like Disney's resources to make these things. So if you're looking for some stuff that touches on, frankly, more like important topics, Pearl, P-U-R-L, is about sexism in the workplace. It's about a little ball of yarn who starts working in corporate. And sometimes I relate to her a little too much. But that's also the shorts program that brought you a lot of the things that you'll see in headlines as being like, oh, Disney's about to put out its first short with an autistic character or a gay character or their first character who's in a wheelchair. It's this Spark Shorts program, and it's one of the least funded parts of Disney. It's like lower level interns being like, I have an idea. It's a good idea. Let me in. And they're like, cool. Here's $5 and a parking pass. Go make us a movie. Something that didn't receive that treatment, though, is Echo. Echo's a spin-off show from Hawkeye. If you don't remember Hawkeye, I don't blame you. He was played by Jeremy Renner in all the Avengers films. And an interesting point of fact is that the character of Hawkeye in the comics is deaf in most iterations. Comics, you know, you can have a couple different universes, but it seems, you know, most of the time Hawkeye, who is an archer, he could shoot arrows very well. He was deaf and he used ASL, and that was kind of represented as a side superpower of his. He was silent and he could do these things. Well, Jeremy Renner, it probably won't come to shock you, he is not deaf or hard of hearing, nor was Disney's iteration of Hawkeye on screen. And this I saw at the time of the Avengers in 2010, and since, deaf folks say, hey, you know, you had a great opportunity here to include some amazing diverse inclusion. Because again, like, name a deaf superhero. Frankly, I think you'd have to be pretty into superheroes to think of one. It's not Superman. It's not Iron Man. It's not any kind of these top 10 folks. But it could have been. And they opted out of having that be a point of fact. So I just want to put out plainly, what that means is a position that kind of was meant to go to a deaf actor. And think about how much money Jeremy Renner made from the time of the Avengers film, however many Marvel films he's been in since. In theory, that was supposed to go to an actor who was deaf. And it didn't. And there is a world of opportunity loss, to use an economic term for that actor and for that community, that can't be brought back. Echo's kind of undoing this. Echo is a character who was in the Hawkeye show, played by Alakwa Cox, who happens to be a Wisconsin native. Specifically, I say not just Wisconsin native to mean she's from here like I am, but to mean she is Menominee and she is from here. She's Native American. She's also actually deaf. She's not just a hearing actor cast to play somebody deaf, which happens all too often. She is actually deaf and uses ASL. And she's also an amputee. She's missing one of her legs. An interesting choice is that Echo, the original character, is not an amputee. And instead of having Alakwa cover this up, instead of not hiring her, because oops, you're like most of the things this character is, but you're one too many. Get this crazy idea. They just made it part of her character. Her character is just also now missing a leg, because crazy statement. People are many things a lot of the time. And the more we realize how many identities on identities on identities people have, and the intersections of those things and the complications of those things, you start to really realize how bad on-screen representation is for just about everybody who isn't a white straight guy. It is hard for me to find characters on screen that I think are like me, exactly like me, a lot like me. And that's frustrating. But don't take it from me. Take it from Alakwa. And if you're thinking, how is it even possible that this woman who uses ASL, Anya, did you forget that this is a radio program? We can't see you. Get this. What if we just started including folks as interpreters, and we just kind of stopped walking around the bush of, who do I look at? You look at the person who's speaking, and if they're speaking with their hands and someone else is using their voice for them, you still look at them. I guess what I'm saying is it's not that hard. So take a listen.
Fred, what do you feel like has surprised you? Did you always want to be a mother?
I've always wanted to be a mom. I always wanted many, many kids, but now with my career, I think I might keep it to one or two.
Yeah, solid move. That's what I say. So how do you go, you grew up in Wisconsin, how does one go from growing up in Wisconsin to all of a sudden on Hawkeye?
My gosh, I get this question a lot, but it's just a cool story that I have. I never had acting on my radar before. A friend of mine sent me the call casting for a deaf Indigenous woman in their 20s. And at first I was apprehensive, but then I got the same text from two other friends and I thought, ooh, there's no way I'm gonna get it. because her character, Maya, does not have an amputated leg. So I thought there's no way they would hire me. And 3 months later, I auditioned, got the role, and here we are now. I was so surprised.
Now, she goes on to say, this is on Kelly Clarkson's show. She's on there with Common. They have a great discussion about Common's involvement in the film Selma. But here, I want you to hear from her. Go ahead and text me if you can name, famous or not, if it's just your friend, cool, any other deaf indigenous woman in her 20s. And then think about the fact that this woman thought, well, that's exactly her, is it not? But they'll never hire me because I'm also missing a leg. The statement put up against folks like her and folks of so many types is you're too much. You're too many different things. We only want to talk about the deaf part or the indigenous part. Get out of here with the additional issues. And guess what? The attitude I'm bringing into this year and further is kind of no more. No, there are not enough ands. Let's just start including people with all the ands. People like Alakwa, and more. And when we get back, we'll be including people from the phone lines, finally. I think that sounds good. I'll see you when we get back. This is, again, Shaped by Those Before Us from Echo. About breaking glass ceilings, someone has to clean up after and it hurts. Hi, it's Anya, and this is Maggie Dawn. I've been sitting on that statement for a while. Do with it what you need to. Hey, we got callers on the line. First up and foremost is Steven from Green Bay. Steven, how are you doing, my friend? What do you want to talk about today?
I'm doing well. I have a couple things I want to say.
Go for it.
They may or may not surprise you coming from a white man, but I guess I'll find out once I get off the phone. The first thing I want to say is it's been a joy to listen to Maggie Dawn and yourself. You guys do very good on the radio together. And when I'm out just late at night, which happens every once in a while, I do make sure to tune in on the radio.
Oh, thanks so much.
With that being said, this thing about Barbie and Ryan Gosling being nominated, but Margot Robbie not being nominated nor the director. And we hear every day in the state of Wisconsin about abortion rights and how these white men in office seem to think that they can tell women what to do with their bodies. And it all kind of lumps into one thing. And that is, when are men going to realize that women are equal, and just because they have a different body part between their legs doesn't mean that they're any less talented, capable, smart than anyone else? And I am sick and tired of hearing these white men thinks that they can go around and tell women what they can and cannot do with their bodies, how women should think. It's absolutely disgusting. We're in 2024. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
We can do better than this.
That's so well said, Stephen. Thank you so much for that. And I think I think you've asked it rhetorically, but I want to ask it quite literally. When are men who have, and to not make it a lump sum, when are men who haven't realized this yet going to realize, going to understand, accept, behave in a way that shows they have accepted? The trail that goes from where we are now, which is, I would say, fairly rampant misogyny on a societal, cultural level, essentially everywhere across the earth. I'm hard pressed to think of somewhere I would consider a matriarchy. Outside of select few homes, and certainly not whole societies, right? When, like a date on a calendar when, or an event that we can, you know, create when. If you were to ask me and I existed in some sort of a vacuum, I would say, well, I think most people realize these sorts of things when it finally starts to affect them, when it starts to hurt them. And I think the unfortunate truth is that we see that misogyny does hurt men. Misogyny hurts all people in all ways, in the way that it puts down and pushes out valuable people with valuable ideas, them in this instance being women. And that hurts everyone. But I think additionally, and to take Ryan Gosling of the Barbie film as a point, you know, previous to Barbie coming out, there's coverage in these magazines about, oh, this is so cringe that he's going to be involved. What man would want to be associated with this? Oh, how girly. And then the film comes out and it's kind of exactly about, hey, take women seriously and be kind to them and stop putting them down in this manner. And what are we left with in awards season? Oh, we really want to talk about how good Ken was now, because his part of the story is the only one we feel comfortable with. The underlying story of a guy who's kind of got his heart broken, even though, frankly, he deserved it in the way he was behaving. But we can't walk away with that, because that's a little bit too real. It's a little bit too proving the point of the film, maybe. I don't know. My belief is that misogyny has been hurting men forever, obviously. But I especially think in instances like respect in the workplace, there's an episode I want to do that I just don't have the language for yet, but maybe I'll talk about it now and you can text in or call in 844-967-2789 if you have the words for this. But I feel like so much of the decline in things like, you ever heard older people talk about like, oh, a doctor, you used to, you know, really respect like your local doctor and they were part of the community and you included them and you kind of look back at photos. It's like, oh, this is when my grandpa, who was a doctor, was given this award and then for 50 years of service. Does anybody else kind of notice a correlation between women being allowed to enter the workplace and those jobs at that workplace receiving less and less respect? And do we maybe think that it's because people don't respect women? So why would they respect a woman doctor? And then that goes on to affect the doctors who aren't women, in that all respect has been lessened by disrespecting some? I think so. But I don't have the statistics or the words for it quite yet. It's just something my mind goes to where I go, you know, yeah, I would like to live in a world where you still, I don't know, you get a pocket watch for 20 years of service or whatever, or you think about, it's nice to have the local whoever does that job over for dinner to show your appreciation for their service. Until women joined whatever service that was, and then it became, I don't know, something that anybody could do, clearly. Because women do it now? I'm confused by that. Here to hopefully clear the confusion is Mark from the SAC. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing okay, and I don't know if I can clear up the confusion there. That's I did okay. See the Barbie movie, and it was fantastic. I mean, I did appreciate the Ken character there because, you know, the pathos that he kind of demonstrated, and then his going overboard and not accepting, you know, finally trying to accept himself as for what he is, to value himself as not just a accessory to Barbie, but to be Ken. And the other one you mentioned is Killers of the Flower Moon. Now, I don't know if I'll see the movie because I read the book, and the book, I would say that should be in a high school reading list. That book is an extremely graphic portrayal of you know, what indigenous people, when they actually got something, you know, that it was taken away from them, because I'd never heard of it until I saw the book. I picked it up, I think, at St. Vinny's, and I said, oh, this looks interesting. So I grabbed it and read it, and I was just horrified that I hadn't heard of it before. I mean, it was sort of reminded of the Tulsa Massacre.
Sure, yes.
That, and other things that were indigenous people or African Americans, you know, have been denied their rights as Americans, and that it brings to mind that, you know, the recent statement by Nikki Haley saying, yeah, oh, there's never been, America's never been a racist country. Well, crack a book and look at the Taney decision from Dred Scott and saying that he more or less said that African Americans aren't even really fully human.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. If you didn't hear yesterday's show, good Lord, was it yesterday? I think so. If you didn't hear yesterday's show, when Maggie was here, and her autopsy of Nikki Haley's kind of all but dead presidential run, and specifically going back over some really horrific comments by Haley about, oh, we've never been a racist nation, but then she'll say, but that she has experienced racism and that was negative. And it's like, well, then which one, Nikki? We can't, I mean, kind of, we do at a certain point have to pick one, and one has a lot of evidence and the other doesn't. So, yeah, it's all of these statements. And to say what you've said about the Osage people and their history regarding their oil rights depicted in Killers of a Flower Moon, a community finally gets something only to have it violently taken away again. This is the demoralizing story that we hear sort of again and again and again from community to community, whether it's the Osage people already victims of a genocide, already victims of having their land taken from them, already victims of forced relocation, a literal godsend, finding oil under their land only to be met with, oop, what's this? More white people who want to kill and steal and stuff. Cool, fun, exactly what we were hoping for, right? I don't at all want to equate that to what I was discussing earlier regarding the Oscars or Barbie. I simply want to say there is so much in the way of people who fight and work tirelessly to get to a point, to get to any point, only to have whatever they find there, be it the basic respect they were fighting their whole lives for, or perhaps an Oscar or an accolade or anything, to be taken away by the callous inability of others to just let anybody else have anything. Sometimes it's that simple. It sucks that it's that simple, but sometimes it's that simple. Maybe it's not. If it's not, write in, because this is, I've tried to Occam's razor this stuff for a long time, and this is as thin as I can slice it at this point. Different topic. That's a segue. We've got an isolation epidemic in this country. You've heard this before. Maybe you've heard it phrased as a loneliness epidemic. The idea that now, maybe more so than ever before, human beings, wherever they may be on Earth, but especially Americans, are more isolated, kept more to themselves, less able to find places to hang out and meet new people or hang out with old people, as in people they knew before, or even just people who are old. All of this has sort of gone away, and I don't know when it started and I don't know when it stopped, but I've definitely seen it in my lifetime. And if you're older than me, I certainly anticipate you've seen it. Many refer to it as the loss of third spaces, that your home and your work are space one and space two, but outside of that, not very many people have a third space, to the point that there's actually a brewery in Milwaukee called Third Space, and its purpose is to be your third space. Come to the bar. And while I don't have qualms with that naming convention, I think it's very clever for one brewery to do it. I think we have to talk about the fact that what's left as far as third spaces are bars, some religious centers, and that's sometimes for better and frankly sometimes for worse, and that's not me being anti-religious. That's just to say, you know, hey, you know, Sunday school's a group activity. So is joining a cult. So some are good and some are, we could just, you know, have that out there. But third spaces more and more are limited to places. Certainly you have to purchase entry to movie theaters, museums, activities, certainly any kids' activities, right? So the idea of spaces you can go to, they don't cost you. You can just be there. There's no expectation of commerce or work or something. That these places are disappearing, and with them, our sense of community. And now that I've maybe laid out for you what we're seeing, I have to say outright, I don't have an answer, because one person cannot have the answer for what solves isolation. It's kind of like saying, allow me to invent two-person solitaire. Why would we do this? So I want to hear from you. I already see someone on the lines I recognize. Jack from Merrimack. Loneliness, the Oscars, what can I do for you today?
Well, I just wanted to make a brief comment on the situation where the American Indians were basically had their land that was given to them stolen because there was something worth money on it.
Sure,
and
sure.
That comment is this. The question that I have repeatedly given to conservatives when there's been discussions on paying fair share of taxes and such with the very, very rich is, wait a minute, how much is enough? How much is too much? How much is enough for any human being to have in terms of dollars, in terms of power? And they've never given me a real answer. The answer I always get is basically whatever you can take.
Yeah, whatever you can take. I feel like I've heard that answer from conservatives before, too. Thank you so much, Jack. I'm sorry to cut you off. We're running right up against some community messages. When we get back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about loneliness. I want to hear from you because that's kind of the point. At 844-967-2789. This has been The Maggie Dawn Show with Anya Esther. Back in a few. What is up, Wisconsin? This is Anya. The show is The Maggie Dawn Show, and the song is Chiquita by ABBA, because I absolutely adore the piano solo later on in this song, and that is how I want to end my show for this week, because why not? This is usually the time and day when Terry Barr would join us to talk about what is local and overlooked, and I may have even said at the beginning of this show that was going to happen. And folks, this is just proof of how quickly the news moves. Terry, we don't have her tonight. We miss her dearly. She is clearly on the trail of an important story. I would assume perhaps she has found the Hodag or something, perhaps Bigfoot, but either way, whatever it is, I know it's far, far more important. And while we miss her dearly, we wish her the best on whatever story it is. So in her stead, in her absence, maybe this is a time for y'all out there to tell me, is there something local and overlooked going on with you? I know it's a little last minute, short notice. You've got about 5 minutes here to tell me. But if there is something, text it to us, 844-967, or give us a call, same number. In the meantime, something to think about that's probably local and overlooked just about everywhere, whether you're listening across the state here in Wisconsin, or you're one of those people who somehow hears us far, far away, maybe through the app, maybe through misplaced signals. I know there's like a guy out in Helsinki that listens to us. I don't know how, but hi. Something that's probably local and overlooked in all of those places is this loneliness epidemic, is this sense of where has community gone? When you want to hang out with people, whether you know them from wherever, or you want to meet new people, where do you go? And I'll say this as someone who's 25. There's a really popular TikTok right now wherein a 20-year-old is saying, hey, if you're 19 or 20 and you're in college and you don't have a fake ID, where are you going? Because that's the option for many of our college students in this country. There is nothing, I mean, I don't mean to say this in cruelty to the many campus activity boards across the country, but you're not keeping up. You're not providing clearly the third space many of these people want, to the point that some of them, and they're not just doing it for the booze, some of them are doing it because it's the only place that their friends hang out. It is the only third space option, a place that's 21 plus. Where does that leave folks who are not 21? 18 to 21. Where does that leave folks who don't want to drink? Where does that leave folks who are looking for a third space, a place to hang out, a place to meet people, not during bar hours? The library? And I don't say that to be incredulous. I actually think that would be great. But we're not seeing it happen. We have to be seeing something happen. And it takes us doing it. We have to know that there's a problem and hopefully have some sort of conversation about options for fixing it, I think. Maybe the main option is continuing to reach out, continuing to be aware of it. You know, it's one thing to say, let me host a few people at my place, but let's talk about especially like rural communities. I see you. I grew up the first like 9 years of my life in Springstead. And if I was 25 living up in, you know, maybe you're hearing me up in Park Falls right now, where are your third spaces in the rural places? And to folks who are scoffing and going, there are none. Yeah, exactly. And that's why that is why loneliness is hitting even harder in our rural spaces. I'm very privileged as someone who lives near downtown Milwaukee that when I want to go to something to not just be alone, I can get in my car or walk down the street and go to whatever. But we outright know that isn't true for all of our rural friends. So what can we do? One suggestion I've seen, you know, we have the fantastic, fantastic technology of the internet, but unfortunately, so many of the people most affected by loneliness are older Americans. And I say this with not being funny, but many of them don't know how to access the many, many resources, like something as simple as getting your grandma on Snapchat so she can just send you a picture and see what you're doing and know that the people she loves are out there. If that's where the info is, we kind of maybe we have to move towards either all of us weirdos who do know how to work Facebook and Discord and all this other stuff. We got to get out of there and meet other people. And again, I love you. Where can we go? I ask that not rhetorically, not to end the conversation, but genuinely asking, where can we go, friends? That isn't a bar, that isn't a paid ticket. Where can we go in the dead of winter right now, where it's not a public park as an option, right? It's something to think about. It's something I think about. And as I see, especially older Americans discuss just not having people to talk to, it just breaks my heart, and we don't have to operate that way. We have a caller on the line. I'm going to do something a little risky here. Hey, what is your name and where are you from?
Stephen from Green Bay. So your risk has paid off.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Stephen, go ahead.
So a couple quick things. You asked, you know, something that's going on with you. The first thing I wanted to point out is that here in the Green Bay, Fox Cities area, there are actually non-alcoholic bars that are popping up.
Very
so,
cool.
For the college-age kid, that would be something right up their alley, probably.
Right, right.
And secondly, a thing that I wanted to bring up to maybe people that are not from the Northeast Wisconsin area is that the city of Green Bay and Brown County has put out a task force that really goes out in the community and works with people that may be in gang-related violence in situations. And because of that, I'm happy to report but it was reported early this year, that the crime rate in Green Bay has gone down 13%.
There you go. I mean, proof in action. And Stephen's brought up a point I didn't even think to bring up, which is, right, hey, you know, the more we take away safe and sane, normal, cool places for people to gather and share ideas, it will not stop people from doing it, but they will gather and make choices that maybe we don't want them to make. Like, for example, hey, if you have no other third space, the unfortunate truth is a lot of gang activity is, as dark as it sounds, the only friends or family some young people who become involved in that and even older people who become involved in that have. So we can genuinely contribute to lowering crime in this state through the insane power of being nice and inviting people over. I truly believe it. I will see you Monday. This has been Anya Esther on the Maggie Dawn Show. Thank you again for listening. This is Chiquita by ABBA.